Hi, this is Greg Williams, and this is going to be a short presentation on writing instructional objectives. The definition of an instructional objective is pretty simple. A learning objective is a statement that specifies, in behavioral terms and measurable terms, what a learner will be able to do as a result of the instruction. Pretty straightforward. There are many benefits to writing good instructional objectives. They help you stay organized, and essentially, they also help you assess your learning outcomes, both for your students and for yourself. In other words, how do you know how you're doing if you don't assess it? Without any data, it's just an opinion. So, instructional objectives are a good tool to help you achieve consistent results over time, and it also helps you select instructional materials. I'm going to show you a very simple formula for writing instructional objectives, and the formula is easy as ABC, but actually there's a D, so it's ABCD. A good instructional objective does several things. First, it tells you who should actually perform. Many times this is quite evident. In the B part for behavior, it really describes what the learner is going to do. And again, that's going to be in measurable terms. The C, the condition, really talks about the specific conditions the learner will face in performing the task. And D, it talks about how well the performance is supposed to be done. We'll get into more specifics a bit later. Here's the formula for writing objectives. It's very simple and straightforward. A, B, C, D. A is for audience. Audience oftentimes is quite evident and obvious. B is the behavior. What would you like your students or participants to be able to do? C is the condition that they will face. Are the conditions using a textbook with the help of their study group, using a computer, etc. We'll get into more of those later. D is the degree, which is another word for how well you want them to do. Do you want them to get 100% correct? Do you want them to get it right half the time? Or what degree do you want them to perform at? The best way to think of instructional objectives is to think about what are you having your students try to achieve? In other words, at the end of the course, what would you like them to know, to do? What skills would you like them to have? Then ideally, you should link those objectives to your activities, your assignments, the course content. A is for audience. Let's take a look at this briefly. As we have mentioned already, the audience is often quite evident, but essentially it describes who is performing the behavior. Students in Econ 101, participants in a management training seminar. There are some models out there that say that this step is irrelevant and it's really not required. Just wanted you to know it. B is for behavior. What do you want the students to be able to do? This can include many things. Write a paper that addresses A, B, C, D. Analyze a case study that does 1, 2, 3. There are numerous examples of here. We will get into this a little bit deeper. Behavior is really, in this sense, another word for performance, but essentially, in this situation, you want to describe the visible performance that you can actually measure. It really talks about what you intend the learner to do. What will they be able to do? Ideally, if it's in measurable terms, you will be able to evaluate it much, much better because if you can actually see them doing or they submit evidence of their performance, it's much easier to measure. This also helps link to your evaluation at the end. There are numerous examples of behavior, but essentially, here are some very simple ones. You want them to write a sentence, to collect data, to draft a list of questions, to describe approved protocol. I could go on, and it might be helpful for you to think about What do you want your students to do at the end of the course? C is for condition, and condition usually puts some degree of difficulty or it puts a spin on what you want the student to achieve. Conditions can include using a textbook in a lab scenario with the help of Excel software. There can be numerous things. We will talk about these more a bit later. Here are some examples of condition, but essentially you're going to describe what the learner will use, have access to, what resource materials they can use. Do they have to do this themselves? Is it open book or closed book? So a condition can be a calculator. In a medical course, it can be the physician's desk reference book. It could be a personal computer. It could be their class notes. It could be with the help of a website. But essentially, it describes the real-world conditions that the performance will deal with when the student actually performs. It could be a lot of things. For example, driving a car. Driving a car in an abandoned parking lot is much easier to do than driving on the Washington Beltway in rush hour traffic. Here's a quick list of examples of condition. For example, given a standard set of tools or given a list of resources from the instructor, using a personal computer. Another thing with conditions is you might want to say what they cannot use without the aid of reference, without the aid of their group members, without using the textbook, with the help of a lab partner. So this gives you a good an idea of what sample conditions might look like. The last element of the ABCD formula is D. D is for degree. Degree is how well you want them to perform. Here are some of the things that degree addresses. It really talks about the measurement of acceptable performance. It really talks about how well somebody should perform. The types of degree that you can talk about might include quality, accuracy, time, speed. It could be a lot of things. Here are some examples of degree. For example, it could be 70% or better on the test, be able to complete a task within 5 minutes, successfully do something at least 3 times in a row without error, 4 out of 5 times. I think you get the idea. Here's an example of a poor instructional objective. At the end of this course, students will know how to be better typists. Well, why is that bad? Well, it's very vague. It doesn't use the ABCD formula. Very difficult to measure whether or not someone's going to be a better typist at the end of this course. Okay, here's a look at an improved instructional objective for the same course. At the end of this course, using a PC with Microsoft Word software, students in Keyboarding 101 will be able to type at least 60 words per minute with no more than 3 mistakes. So let's look at who's the audience. What is the A? The A is students in Keyboarding 101. B is the behavior. What's the observable behavior? Type at least 60 words per minute. C is the condition. What resources will you have them do, or what conditions? In this case, it's using a PC with Microsoft Word software. And D, what is the degree? How well do you want them to do it? With no more than 3 mistakes. So you can compare that to the previous slide, and obviously there's quite a difference, and it's very measurable. So here's another look at the same thing. Again, it's the ABCD. Audience, often sometimes obvious, but students in Keyboarding 101. The behavior that you can observe, they type. The condition, using a personal computer with Microsoft Word, and the degree, at least 60 more words per minute and no more than 3 mistakes. Very simple formula. Audience, behavior, condition, degree. Benjamin Bloom's taxonomy is another tool that is very helpful in writing instructional objectives. Some of you may be familiar with this, but essentially it starts with the lowest level of learning, with knowledge, and then works its way to more difficult or higher levels of learning, to comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, and evaluation. We'll talk more about these shortly. Okay, in Bloom's taxonomy, we begin with knowledge. Knowledge is the base level of knowledge in the pyramid. If you're aiming for simple knowledge from your students, here are some sample keywords: what, who, when, name, list, tell, define, show, select. All these words could potentially be used in instructional objectives. The next level in Bloom's taxonomy is comprehension. While knowledge simply says what something is, if a child sees an apple and you say, "This is an apple," and they repeat the apple back, that is knowledge. Comprehension is they could explain what an apple is. An apple is a type of food that we call a fruit. So you can explain, summarize, rephrase, and again, these are all sample keywords that you could use in writing instructional objectives if you're aiming for comprehension. The next level in Bloom's taxonomy is application. And application is simply, okay, they know this material, but can they apply it? We've showed somebody how to swing a golf club, and they can tell you what they're supposed to do, but now, can they actually apply that and swing the golf club according to your specifications? So if you're looking for students to apply what they've learned, here are some possible sample keywords that you can use in writing your objectives for application: develop and build, solve, use, operate, organize, practice. I think you get the idea. There are thousands more. The next level in Bloom's taxonomy moves up to the analysis level. Now we're starting to develop higher levels of learning. Here are some words to use in your learning objectives if you're looking for your students to analyze. For example, you could have them examine something, question, debate, compare, contrast, differentiate. Again, there are numerous examples of how you could use this. The next level in Bloom's taxonomy ratchets up to, again, another higher level learning level, and this level is synthesis. Synthesis is where the learner starts to be able to pull things together to come up with their own conclusions. If you're writing learning objectives that you're going for synthesis as your level of learning, here are some keywords that you can use in developing those learning objectives. It might be formulate, predict, design, theorize, estimate. The highest level in the Bloom taxonomy is evaluation. If you are asking your students to evaluate something in your learning objectives, here are some sample words that you can use. If they can interpret, assess, recommend, judge, evaluate, justify, there are many more, of course. So let's wrap up this presentation with the key points. Instructional objectives really help you to improve learning. And also, as a side benefit, they help improve your teaching because you're able to assess it much better. Good learning objectives can be seen, they can be observed, and therefore they can be measured. What's the method that we use to create learning objectives? Well, we use the ABCD method, which is audience, behavior, condition, degree. Ideally, the activities and your assessments in your course should match your course objectives. If you have activities that don't link to your course objectives, you should either change the objective or change the activity. It could be actually deleting the activity or deleting that particular